You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith.
And Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called...
No one ever taught me that.
Taught you what?
That.
What is it?
They didn't teach me, so I can't tell you. Anyway, so today's episode is all about things in history that we've had to learn on our own. Mm. Things that that stand out that we should have been taught. That when you hear them, you're like, wait, no one's ever taught me that. What is going on with this?
Yeah.
And so, Kylie Jo, why today? Why are we talking about this now?
Well, there's a lot of reasons that this has come up, but most specifically this week we had a holiday that probably not a lot of folks are familiar with that we learned actually is not commonly taught, and that is Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And, of course, we can't ask you all listening, like, how many of you know what Juneteenth is?
Raise your hand. If you're wherever you are, raise your hand right now if you've never heard of Juneteenth. Okay, I see that hand. I see you. I see you.
We see you.
Okay,
amen.
I see you. Amen. Yes. I see you.
Have a seat. Okay. So we wanted to celebrate this because it is part of Nick's and my heritage. It's part of our people's history. But we also recognize that not a lot of people know what it is. So Nick, do you want to explain?
Yeah. So Juneteenth is the day in 1865 when General Granger marched into Galveston, Texas, and announced to the people there that they had to actually follow the Emancipation Proclamation that was declared 2.5 years before.
What?
And so on June 19th is when this proclamation was given. And so all the people, and it wasn't just like all the freed slaves were like, oh, hey, we're free. We're just all going to leave now. And all the slave owners were like, okay, I guess we got to listen. There were still a lot of issues, but there was a day that they could signal as their Emancipation Day, their Freedom Day. And so Juneteenth is what has become the African-American Independence Day.
Yeah. And it's actually, it's June 19th. So it's a contractual word or contract. What is it?
Contractional? Contractional.
See, normally it's you with
yeah.
the words.
Yeah, switching it up.
Is this what you feel like?
Flipping it up on you.
So June 19th is what Juneteenth is. And like Nick said, it's kind of become our Independence Day. It's become the day because not a lot of people know that July 4th, you know, as the American Independence Day was not everyone's Independence Day.
Yeah, it wasn't Black people's Independence
right.
Day.
Right. And so on that day in history, there were still slaves.
And lots of them.
And a whole lot. And they
and more
continued.
To come.
Yes.
More
so,
to come.
So July 4th is not Black people's Independence Day. We do celebrate it because, hey, you're in America and that's just part
it
of the
culture. It paved the way for us to be yes. African-American, to be American citizens.
Exactly.
So yeah, 4th of July is awesome.
Yeah, but as far as African-Americans and our true independence on this soil, Juneteenth is the day. And it's also become a way for us to recognize African-American contributions to the culture, to
yeah.
the American culture, because we have a culture, had a culture prior to slavery that was African. And that's
yeah.
it. It was only African. But in this cultural context, we are African-American, which is a whole new culture.
That's right.
And so we want to celebrate the things that are African-American culture, that are life-giving in this context.
Those of you who have seen us and you're like, what is Nick doing talking about African-American culture? Who's this Puerto Rican dude that's given a context? But
first of all, check your heart.
First off, check it. But second off, my ethnicity, my racial background, my mother is African-American and Sicilian, and my dad is German Jew, Native American. And so I am the melting pot. I am the American dream. So if anyone yes. has any insight on what it is to be American,
hey,
it's the Mexican looking kid
guy.
In rural Kansas who's actually Black.
Yes.
And so this is important to us. And in the news right now, this idea of racial conciliation, racial reconciliation and racial wholeness has been coming up with Senator Mitch McConnell making his comments about reparations.
Mm-hmm.
And Kylie Jo, what was that video that you saw?
Yes. Okay. So if you are on social media at all, you've probably seen this coming up. So after Mitch McConnell made his comment about reparations, Ta-Nehisi Coates, And I'll spell that for you. T-A-N-E-H-I-S-I, Coates, C-O-A-T-E-S. Ta-Nehisi Coates had this really well done response to the question, to the issue of reparations. And so you should look that up. It's not that long of a video. It's definitely worth worth your time. It will enrich your understanding, I hope, if you approach it with the right heart. And so for those of you who don't know, for a long time in American history, there's been this question of reparations, this question of how do we make up for, how do we make amends for the wrongs that our country has done. And we've talked about this with regard to foreign wars. We talked about it with regard to those who have come to America who are not native born. And we've also talked about it with regard to the native peoples who were here long before any of us. And so reparations is not a foreign concept. It's not something we really don't talk about or that hasn't been discussed in policies.
Or hasn't been actually done for other people groups. Yeah, that hasn't been done.
Yeah. However, when it comes to African Americans, this issue of reparations continues to be fought against. It continues to be argued against. And Mitch McConnell, I think, though I disagree with his comment, did open up the door once again for us to have this discussion about why reparations for African American people in America, African American people in America, that's funny.
Yeah, there we go.
For us African Americans, is necessary to discuss why this is something we can't just close the door on. It we can't just brush it under the rug.
Yeah, it's
we
something really to do. Actually have the conversation for, because yeah. America's wealth was founded on the backs of slaves.
Yeah,
the entire bedrock of foundation of America being a world power was founded on this understanding that they had a free labor force to build things and to reap harvest and to sow, and all this money that came in for generations came in on the backs of slaves, and that built the wealth of our economy.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell, he said what he said was basically no one alive today ever had slaves.
Yeah.
And we elected Barack Obama, so that proves that we don't need reparations, because black people can elevate themselves all the way to the highest level in America. Mm-hmm. But what he's forgetting is the generations of disparity, the generational setbacks of people who have never had the economic foot to stand on, the economic foundation.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is when we were talking, we were looking up stuff we didn't know, right? No one ever taught me that. Mm-hmm. One of the things Mitch McConnell said is no one alive today had slaves. When
is
I was
that
looking,
a myth?
That could be. I don't know if these people are still alive, but okay. We found out that there was a historian and a genealogist named Antoinette Harrell.
Yeah.
Harrell, that's how you say it. I'm bad with words, but Antoinette Harrell is her name. And she did this report that she studied up for about 20 years. She was doing research on slavery in the Deep South. And she ended up releasing this report through Vice. And some people may or may not like Vice. A lot of times they're trying to just stir the pot and get on people's side. But they shed the light on a lot of things that people won't talk about. Mm-hmm. And so she shared this report with Vice, and she found out there were people living in the Deep South into the 1960s that were still in slavery. These were people that were other people's properties and were forced to work. They were tortured. They were raped. They were beaten in the 1960s.
So you're talking about post-emancipation.
100 years.
Well into segregation and marches for civil rights.
Civil rights.
Getting
was,
into that era.
Yeah, was just starting, going.
Yeah, so this is illegal slavery. So what we talk about when we say slavery has been over for a long time, a lot of times we're talking about legally in this country, slaves have not been allowed. However, the reality, as with many laws, as we all know, just because it's a law does not mean that people are following it.
Yeah. And so with there is a story that May Louise Walls Miller, this poor lady, said she was 14 years old when she was finally freed in 1963. She ran away in 1963. Her and her family didn't have a TV. They didn't have a radio. They were living, as we understand, slaves have lived since, the 1700s.
Yeah.
And when she finally got away, she got her freedom.
Yeah.
But she didn't know that slavery had ended. She didn't know that wasn't right, that was illegal.
Yeah.
And so there were people in neighborhoods. And what's crazy to me is in this small community that the Walls Miller family lived in, there were people that aided this. There were Yeah. They knew it was wrong and they continued it. It wasn't just like this one family was locking people in a closet. Like they were working in the field. Mm-hmm. They had neighbors that would come by and see them. Yeah. Like people knew that this was wrong.
And so it was accepted socially, though legally it was a punishable offense. I mean, if you got found out, I hope that you were keeping slaves against the law that had been in place for so long.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But the fact that the community around these people, which just a little side note, this is for free, May Louise Walls Miller. So the Walls Miller family. So this young lady had the name of the owners of her family. So a lot of times we'll see, this is just for free. A lot of times we'll see last names of Black people in this country. And I'm thinking of some like Smith is one of them, or White or Brown or Johnson. A lot of times those names were given to slaves.
Yeah, to identify what plantation you were from.
Exactly. It was a property identification, more so than, obviously, when coming from Africa, we weren't coming with those names.
That's right.
So when you hear May Louise Walls Miller, she was not a member of the Walls Miller family. She was property that belonged to the Walls Miller family. Yes,
though she had her own family.
Yes.
That was so. One of the crazy things, so we brought up Juneteenth, right? Mm-hmm. We were talking with our congregation, and I remember Kylie Jo asked, we did a Juneteenth celebration to bring some awareness and education to people. And Kylie Jo said, hey, how many of you here know about Juneteenth? And Kylie Jo and my hands went up. And no one else.
Yeah.
There wasn't one other hand in our congregation. And this isn't a condemnation for our people. This isn't us getting down on them. But what it is shedding some light on is the fact that there are complexities and depths of history mm-hmm. that are completely ignored in our public education system.
Yeah.
There are things that are not taught to the common, normal, you know, K through 12th grader mm-hmm. that they don't get that are pretty important for a huge demographic of people.
Yeah.
And so Juneteenth was one of these things, like nobody had heard of it out here in rural Western Kansas. They were like, June what now? What is this?
I don't actually remember hearing about it. I know in high school at some point I heard or saw something about a Juneteenth celebration, not in the context of a classroom, but around, I'm guessing it was around June 19th during the summertime, there was some celebration happening in my hometown. But in school, it was not something that I remember being taught. And actually, it wasn't until adulthood that I was like, oh, wait, this is something valuable about our people. Oh, wait a second. So what's written in history books, the general overview, which is usually what we're getting in history books because we can't pack everything in.
Yeah.
The general overview of slavery that I've been taught is misrepresenting what actually happened.
Yeah. And so we wanted to dive in like, okay, what are some other things that we had this conversation with each other? What are some other things that we had to learn about on our own that no one ever taught us? Because that was the response we were getting from our people, our friends and church family. It was like, no, I never heard that. No one ever taught me that.
Yeah.
And so we started looking into what are some things that people had not heard of. A lot of the things that came up were things about African-American history.
Yeah.
And in general, people of color.
Yes.
You don't hear a ton about Asian-Americans, about Hispanic-Americans' contributions to our culture. You don't hear really much about Native Americans, except that we murdered them all.
Yeah. Well, and the things that we do see represented in media are caricatures.
Yeah.
Or they're just stereotypical.
And biased.
And biased. And so even the little bit that we do see that we're exposed to still misrepresents the heart of a culture and the fact that each person within that culture is an individual that is to be valued.
Yeah. And so some of the stuff we came up with was, or that we came across was things like Greenwood, Oklahoma. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Greenwood, Oklahoma, outside of the Tulsa area. And even some that live there, I'm not sure if that's something that's shared, but I know we're in Kansas. We're just a state away. Mm-hmm. And very few people I've talked to in just common culture had heard of Greenwood, Oklahoma. And what happened in Greenwood, Oklahoma, it was also called Black Wall Street. So if you want to Google Black Wall Street, you can find out about this. There was an entire community, a segregated community in outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, that was so prosperous, it was called Black Wall Street. There were multiple banks. There were oil barons. There were grocery stores, hospitals,
churches.
Schools, churches. And this community was thriving. the dollar circulated in that community, I think they said upwards of 10 times before it left the community.
And so, and what was unique about this community is that it was all Black.
Yes.
It was something, so a lot of times we hear that, well, slavery is over and, you know, you people have had a lot of time to basically get your comeuppance. You've been able to establish yourselves. And for a time, a very brief time, that was true. We had thriving all Black communities, all Black mostly because we were not allowed to be successful in white communities. But yes, for a time, that was true.
Yes, like post-slavery, before Reconstruction completely just like terrorized Black people. And I mean, not Reconstruction itself, but what came out of Reconstruction.
Yeah.
You had some, you even had Black senator right after right after slavery, and then didn't see another one until I think the, what was it, the 50s or 60s or something, 60s.
Yeah.
And so Greenwood, Oklahoma, in the early 1900s, this community existed. And what happened was Tulsa, members of the Tulsa community destroyed Greenwood, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The police actually, in planes, bombed Greenwood, Oklahoma and completely wiped it off the face of the earth. I mean, destroyed schools and churches and bombed the hospital. Like,
murdered women, men, women, and children.
Oh, yeah.
Lost their lives in this surprise attack. This is the first attack on U.S. soil.
Yeah, this was the first terrorist attack. Especially one used by planes, because you could argue the first terrorist attack was, you know, when we came and murdered all the Native Americans.
Absolutely. Yes.
That was probably the first terror attack.
Yes.
But after that, it would be this Greenwood, Oklahoma, where U.S. citizens were bombed by their own people. And we don't hear about that. That's not something that's ever told because it's shameful. It's a shameful part of U.S. history. But it's important for us to understand these things because it gives a complete, a complex image of who we are as America.
Yeah.
One of the things that the brother said in the video, I'm spacing on his name.
Ta-Nehisi.
Yeah, Ta-Nehisi. One of the things he said in there is that a country is not only its debits, but its credits.
Yes.
And so a person is not only the positive stuff that they say and do, but also the negative stuff.
Yeah.
That all makes up your character and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, you know, Greenwood, Oklahoma was one of the things. There was also a bombing in Philadelphia. This was in the 80s.
Yeah.
That, and I'm from Southern California. I never heard about this until this year.
Which California has its own histories of of atrocities and things.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. The Black Panthers, right?
Yeah.
Those of you who are unfamiliar with the actual story of the Black Panthers, I would tell you to look it up because what we see now is there's a current Black Panther Party that has kind of radicalized away from the core values that the original Black Panther Party for Self-Defense had.
Yeah.
And so the original Black Panthers, they were all about power to the people. They were socialists, and some of you hate that, and that's awesome. And it has its place. But their main goal was empowering people to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to stop the oppression of armed police force in their communities coming in, harassing, beating, murdering, and just terrorizing their communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did was the Black Panthers, they read up on their constitutional rights and they knew their constitutional right to bear arms. And so they told the government that they will defend themselves against any attacks, and they policed the police.
Mm-hmm.
They went around and they watched as police did their job. They didn't interfere, but if the police stepped out of line, they would speak up and defend those who were being oppressed.
Wow.
And what ended up happening positively out of the Black Panther Party was they started the first school lunch or free lunch and free breakfast programs.
Yeah.
They were feeding children in their communities. And then what ended up happening was, if you look this up, I'm not making this up. I had to learn it myself because they didn't teach me in school.
Yeah.
The FBI, declassified documents, you can find them now.
Yeah.
They targeted the Black Panther Party as an enemy of the state.
Yeah.
And they went in and they tried to tear it down from the inside by planting drugs,
and
by
weapons,
infiltrating, by criminalizing everything they did, by bombing their locations, throwing grenades in Panther meeting places.
Yeah.
And so they sought to completely destroy the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And then the media, what the media did, how it plays a part is it said, oh, these Black guys out in Oakland are terrorists, and they want to see the downfall of America, and they're only trying to damn. And they painted the Panthers as these people that were anti-U.S.
Which is nothing that we see nowadays.
Oh, no,
we definitely
never
don't see the media trying to portray anything in a certain type of way to make us feel a certain type of way about a certain type of person. We certainly don't see that nowadays.
No, we've matured, right? As a country, we've definitely matured.
Sorry, that was a little bit of sarcasm.
Just a bit. Dripping a bit with sarcasm. But the truth of the matter is there are so many events in our history. And this, we're just talking about African-American history right now.
Yeah.
But again, you can look into Asian-American history and the way they were abused on the railroad system and how they were worked and used and the way the culture was shaped into really what it is now. You could look at Hispanic-Americans and Mexican-Americans and how we took so much land from Mexico or bought it at dirt cheap price. And the way that, honestly, the Southwest of America has always been heavily populated by Mexicans because it used to be Mexico.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are like, well, why can't they go back to their own country? This was their country. we set the border and we're like, oh, now you're on our side of the fence.
Right.
Like there's a lot of information that is kept from us or it's told to us in a certain way that we don't actually get the whole truth.
Yeah. It's propaganda. If you're not familiar with that term, you should look it up. You should look at propaganda throughout history and how it shapes the culture. How we allow it to shape the culture. And a lot of, and we could go for so long just talking about some of these individual things. But one of the things I want to touch on is just in keeping with our real life, no myth policy.
Yeah.
It is so easy to believe that, like as Mitch McConnell had said, that we don't need to give reparations. We don't need to give any pause to these atrocities because, you know, there's been good stuff that's happened. We've done some nice things for y'all. And so we don't have to really do that. And it's not about, it's not so much about pay us back because really, I don't believe there's a way to put a number on it when you consider the millions of lives that were lost, the billions that have been affected from this. But it's a way to understand truly, as Ta-Nehisi said, as you quoted, the good and the bad, to really weigh and understand that, yeah, there's good. There's some good stuff that's some nice things that have happened since then. And this country enjoys a lot of economic prosperity.
Yeah.
But there is also a whole other side. There are effects of slavery, no matter how far we get from it. How many years we've come since then? There are effects to this day.
Cultural effects,
not just
systemic effects.
Yes, and one of the things that most recently that kind of has come up that I've been kind of following is the case of Albert Wilson.
Yes,
and if you're not familiar with Albert Wilson's case, you need to go online. You need to educate yourself. That's one thing everyone needs to do about all of these
things.
Because
no one will teach you some stuff. You got to teach yourself.
Yeah. So we have a young man who has been accused.
Convicted.
Yeah, he was accused and then later convicted, and he's been sentenced to 12 years in prison. When the physical evidence, the eyewitness testimonies, and they even have like camera footage that show he is innocent. He did not do the thing that he was accused of doing. Yet he was given 12 years in prison. Yet, and he's an African American young man. He's actually from my hometown, I believe. And so you have that case, and that's recent. That is very recent. However, you have other cases very similar to his with men who are not African-American, who have been given a slap on the wrist, who have been told, you know, just don't do it again. Just be careful because we're afraid of the effect that it will have on their future. Whereas this young man who was in college, who was seeking to educate and better himself and create a future for himself, has now felt the effects of profiling, of prejudice, and all of these things, which are a direct result of slavery.
Yeah, because you got the kid Brock Turner. He's the one that was
caught.
He's
the poster child for that.
He was caught raping something like visual assault of a sexual, like a visual witnesses of a sexual assault.
Yes.
And yet he got off. He got away. Like, and yet you have this young black man who was a student, you know, all the same situation as Brock Turner, but with no evidence and proof that he actually did not do what they are accusing him of. And he's now in prison. And so there's actually a movement to free him.
Yeah. There is
free Albert Wilson.
And part of the understanding of this is that, yes, we have some credit given to our race. I'll say we have some things like, oh, well, we've done some nice things for you guys and you guys have done some nice things for us. However, when we look at the effects of this, how to this day, and we're not even talking about the violent things that we see in the media. We're not even discussing those things, just simply the things in our culture that we are viewing and we're experiencing on a daily basis tells me that we are not past it. We truly have not come to a place of mutual understanding.
Well, and when you look at the prison population, because the 13th Amendment, if you've never watched 13 on Netflix,
check it out.
Because it sheds light on the prison complex and how out of slavery, because you can actually still be a legal slave in America if you're a criminal. Yeah, if you've broken a law, they can legally enslave you.
Yes.
And so if you look at our social justice system and how it's been bent towards against poor people and black people or people of color specifically, we see that we're miles away from being done with this. Like, we've got a long road to tread.
Yeah.
And it's important for us as citizens, as especially as believers, to know our history so that we don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So we're not buying into the propaganda.
Yeah. Something that came up when I was looking up reparations, the definition of reparations, which, if you're not familiar with the definition of it, it is just the making of amends for a wrong that has been done. That can be by paying money or can be by giving help to those who've been wronged, who are still feeling the effects of that. But if you look at kind of the history of the word, repairing, to make ready, to prepare for something to be good and right. I think it's interesting that in our current
administration,
there is this phrase that we've heard a lot, which is to make America great again. And I think that something that just came to me today when we were preparing for this is we have to make things right before we can make them great.
Mm-hmm.
We have to really, truly want to make things right for all people.
Yeah.
That's what equality, that's the kind of the foundation of equality for all people.
Yeah.
Before we try to make things great for a select few or for those who deserve it based on what we think the prize is in the end. And so even part of reparations, it fits into that. I don't think you can say, I want to make America great again without truly wanting to make things right.
That's right. That's good. And so we want to give you some practical applications because this is our real life. And the worst thing is to be just given information and then what do you do with it?
Right.
Cool. I'm aware now. I'm a little more woke than I was before, but now what?
Yeah.
Now what? So first, I want to challenge each and every one of you Christians that are listening. Please know that racial issues are gospel issues.
Mm.
See, it's easy for us to separate the gospel and race. We can be like, well, Jesus cares about the poor. Jesus cares about the sick. Jesus cares about the babies, the orphans, the widows, the old folks. But when you start saying Jesus cares about diversity, it's like, well, hold on, guys. Now you're getting a little political.
Well, unless you're talking about growing your church.
Well,
and then we're okay with talking about diversity. Oh, my goodness.
But the truth is, Jesus cares about diversity because God created diversity.
Mm.
If he wanted one type of person, that's all there would be on this earth. And so he values each and every people group on the planet, which is why we have to get the gospel to them. And part of being a gospel people, a people centered on the good news of Christ, is seeing other people as carrying the image of God and seeing them having intrinsic value.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Christians, we need to seek ways not to devalue someone's culture, not to devalue someone's story, not to devalue someone's identity in their culture, but we need to see a way to value them and who God created them to be.
Yeah.
Listen to understand, engage in order to get a better sense of what God's doing in the world and around you.
Yeah. In order to listen, you kind of have to ask a question first. Sometimes listening isn't just showing up. Listening is saying, hey, you know what? I don't know what this is like. And I think I had told a story in one of our previous episodes of a friend who called me to ask. And then from asking, she simply listened. And one of the things we fail at often in our culture and in the church is listening to understand, not to respond.
Mm,
because when I listen to respond, I'm constantly evaluating everything you're saying so that I can have an argument at the end of it that makes me right.
Yeah.
Whereas if I listen just to hear you and to see you, because that's bearing the image of Christ. That's taking on the identity of the Holy One who did not consider himself to be so great that he couldn't die on a cross for our sins. That's taking on that meekness and that humility and saying, I just want to hear you. I just want to be here with you in the middle of this.
Which is what the word compassion means.
Yeah.
The word compassion is to suffer with somebody, to actually suffer with them. And so having compassion is something that is so necessary.
Yeah.
those of you who don't know how to do ministry, those of you who don't know how to do evangelism, you can start by just having compassion.
Yeah.
It shows so much grace in such a harsh and dark world right now, mm-hmm. where everyone is digging their heels in to defend their side instead of just simply having compassion for someone else.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean that you don't hold truth to scriptural doctrine.
Yes.
But what it means is you have to divorce your own prejudices from the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And you have to separate, okay, what is me and what is Jesus?
Yeah. And it's okay to not understand. It's okay to even have this sense of, well, I don't see it that way. I've never experienced. It's okay to know that. And it's also okay to never say that out loud. It's okay to just keep your mouth shut and just listen and let the Holy Spirit move and work and let Him transform your mind.
Amen. And instead of trying to defend, and like you were going with, well, I've never experienced that. I don't know that. It's true.
You don't.
You don't. And you probably never
you
will.
Won't.
But the beauty of being who God created us to be is that in spite of our understanding, that we should never lean on our own understanding.
Come on.
We can enter into someone's situation and we can just simply be.
Yeah.
Just simply allow them to be. And we don't have to control their thoughts and we don't have to persuade them.
Yeah.
I saw a really cool meme and with this, I'll pass it off.
Okay.
It said, God called you to win souls, not arguments.
Ooh.
And so practically, go out, love people. Go out and see how you can hear them, how you can be with them, how you can have compassion with people.
Yeah. So listen, we hope that, number one, we hope that you've been able to listen to all of this and not be overwhelmed. I know that a lot of this information can be overwhelming.
It was a lot.
It's a lot. And we really hope that this has helped to educate and maybe entertain you a little bit and empower you in this conversation about racial reconciliation, especially among God's people. If you have questions or comments about something that you heard us talk about today, please just send us a message. Leave us a comment on social media. If you live in our area, just come talk to us. We are willing and ready to listen because that's our first job. So
amen.
This has been the Nick Smith Podcast.
We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.